Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefrey, and this is episode number 304. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great people that we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsor, Train Heroic, for bringing this episode to you for free. Only partner with companies that I believe in, both the people and the product. And Train Heroic, guys, just talked to them today, this morning, and talking to them, you know, they're doing a questionnaire about how to improve the product and how to get better. And they're constantly trying to strive to do that. And so that's something that I really appreciate about them. It'd be easy for them to rest on their laurels and just do what they've got, but they're constantly trying to push the envelope. Also want to let everybody know about our new app, Play Pro app. If you haven't checked that out yet, it's very much like a Netflix for strength coaches. It's basically the best way to describe it. And awesome. It's both a web and an iOS app, Android app. But tons of great content on there as well. This week I'm joined by Michael Silbernagel. Yeah, that's a mouthful, but I got it, I think. But man, he's the head strength coach at University of Mary. He's a raw national powerlifting champion. Been in the field for a master strength coach, doing great things up there, and making things happen. So appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Mike, we talked a little bit. I mean, obviously, you're at University of Mary now, Division II school, but you spent quite a bit of time at Colorado State. You did your GA at North Dakota. What experience, either place or time of your career, now that you've been a master strength coach, that had the biggest impact on you?
You know, I think the biggest one is the first one. You know, the time at the University of North Dakota, you go in raw, you think you know what you're doing and what you're getting into, and you kind of get baptized by fire real quick, and you realize what makes this profession tick and how awesome it can be moving forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, great. I agree with you 100%. Give me an example of something that you felt like you weren't quite prepared for coming out of grads, you know, your degree and your certification. You feel like, you know, a lot of these young coaches that are listening, you know, they get their degree, they get their certification, all of a sudden they're like, man, we're ready to go.
Yeah, you know, I think my first experience just walking around the weight room and watching how their guys are being coached, and the coach's eye that my mentor and coworkers had, you know, Jared Nesland and Nate Bockel, you're sitting there and you're watching them give cues, and I'm like trying to figure out what they're even looking at.
Right.
And, you know, get experience, get into a real life setting, get into a group of 30, 40 people, and get your hands dirty from the visual aspect of things.
Yeah, I could agree more. I mean, you know, on paper, it's very much an apprenticeship profession. You have to get in it. You have to go through it. You have to experience all the technical stuff that you thought you know, but you don't necessarily know. But then all the peripheral stuff, you know, the athlete culture and the mindset and all the other things that come into play whenever you're working with group dynamics. Those are the parts that you just got to get in it and you just got to experience it for sure. I agree with you 100%. You know, you don't become a master strength coach without making a lot of mistakes along the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made and how you learned from it?
You think there's one way to do things? That I can take whatever plan I used at North Dakota and bring it to Colorado State, or what I used at Colorado State and bring it to you, Mary. And I realized real quick on the job that you're there for about 30 minutes and you realize that things aren't going to work the way you want them to. And how are you able to adapt on the fly, still keep your concepts and your principles without throwing out, you know, the entire kitchen sink, but continue to make it yours and put the athletes first in their development.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we all make that mistake somewhere down the line, right? You know, we talked a little bit, you know, prior to this about, you know, being at U Mary and you know, how many staff members do you have up there?
Right now, fortunate, we've grown it. I have a full-time assistant and two graduate assistants.
Yeah, so we've built staff, it. Yeah, staff of four, Division II program. It's not, it doesn't have all the same resources that maybe Colorado State had, you know, along the way. Talk a little bit about how you've been able to create, you know, a program on a budget, but then some of the things that you're doing around athlete profiling and getting the coaches, you know, the meat and potatoes, what they need to know.
Yeah, you know, we started off, we didn't have a budget when I got here. It was me, myself, and I, and we started off creating that brand, right? And Marauder Strength, I was fortunate. There's a huge sign in our weight room that said Marauder Strength. And when I got here, athletes were wearing every other university you can imagine, and we wanted to create that fraternity, sorority-type mindset with our athletes. So we started making T-shirts and selling them on the cheap. You know, it wasn't about necessarily raising money, but getting the logo out there and the brand out there, making it something that these kids wanted to be part of. And that started it. And then our coaches actually went to administration and went to bat saying, hey, we need help. You know, coaches in there 13 plus hours a day, he's doing a great job, but he needs help. And that trickled in to growing the staff to where it is right now. Very fortunate of the staff I have with me. And we've kind of created that athlete profile for our coaches to get them to understand what we're dealing with. Because a lot of times they don't live in our world. They don't understand our lingo. You know, they just want to know, okay, why is so-and-so vertical jump not going up? Well, coach, they put 10 pounds of muscle on and they have the same vertical jump. So their power output's greater.
Right.
And after reading a couple different books out there, we decided to put this player profile together where we're looking at a bunch of different intangibles. Obviously your weight room components, clean, squat, bench, height, weight, reach, broad jump, vertical jump, but also taking those numbers times their body weight to give them a number that they can understand. So we did horizontal power, vertical power with the broad jump and the vert, and they could see it. Timing acceleration with our 10 or 20 yard sprint. Everyone does a 5-10-5 for change of direction aspect, just to put some things on paper to get them to see what we need to work on. So if an individual wasn't doing what they wanted on the court or on the field, we were then able to kind of make a program a little bit more specific to the demands that that coach was looking for out of those athletes.
Yeah, so when you do that kind of a power index, right, you know, that's kind of what that is. What were you comparing early on? Were you comparing that against – just the university? Did you throw some arbitrary numbers out there?
You know, what we tried to do right away, I think we tried to recreate the wheel and it didn't work out really well because you tried to, well, at this university, this was the correlation and here's what we found, you know, big picture and how do we compare it nationally? What we've started doing is just using it to help compare the athletes to themselves.
Right.
So we're still working on collecting data to where we can say, hey, at this position, these are the numbers that we want, because these are the best results we've seen. But right now it's just to show that kid and that coach how they are improving in the process and where maybe, you know, everyone likes to do what they're good at.
Right.
Maybe we can get an individual to realize, hey, you know what? You're already really good here for what we need in the sport world. We need to increase these things over here that you're not as good at, because that's going to help you become a better athlete. And therefore coach is happier and we're happier and life is good. We're hoping after about 4 to 5 years of this kind of profiling, then we'll be able to say, hey, coach, by a position, this is what we're seeing. And this is going to fit the mold of what you want for your student athlete.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you can arm your coaches with the information, you know, when they're recruiting, I mean, if they bring in better players, and it helps make the weight room look a little bit better for sure.
Exactly.
You know, you can kind of take that concept and apply it to just overall philosophy as well. I mean, you know, it's not always absolute strength. You know, I mean, you're a power lifter, you know, as well as anybody. I mean, you can have a guy that deadlifts the world, benches the world, but isn't always the best athlete on the field. Talk a little bit about, you know, just philosophically about training in concepts versus in absolutes.
You know, we've really gotten to the point where we're going to look at different aspects of strength. I think oftentimes we forget about the eccentric isometric piece of it, not in terms of training blocks, but in terms of understanding how deacceleration plays into a role. Cause our coaches are always, you know, faster, finish through a line rather than deaccelerating and controlling your body after that maximal speed. or okay, great, we're lifting a heavy weight, slow, you know, taking some of that West Side barbell type mentality amongst others, but how can we move a lighter load fast and under control, and while still touching on every aspect of it throughout that process and not being married to just one way of doing things.
Yeah, I mean, you threw West Side out there, obviously, with eccentric and isometric. You might add in, you know, like triphasic or something along those lines. What, you know, I mean, when you're at a Division II school and you start talking about triphasic and West Side and you start throwing that out to coaches and athletes, I mean, you're going to see the steam kind of coming out of their ears, right? I mean, what are some ways that you pull that into the program without them really understanding the science behind it, but they're getting the concept?
You know, the biggest thing we talk about is, are we talking about weak points? Or are we talking about maximal strength, maximal power? Or are we talking about the ability to take that power and strength that they've gained and translating into, you know, athletic ability? We don't utilize the term sports specific hardly at all on our staff. It's athlete specific. Okay. And we've really been able and been lucky that our coaches agree with that, that they're going to work on the sports specific piece of it. And we're going to upgrade the engine, as you kind of mentioned earlier. They bring us bigger engines. You put a V8 versus a V6 and upgrade both, the V8's going to win. Right. So how can we now utilize that and go, okay, you know what? In reality, you're a V6, or you might even be a four-cylinder, but we can still get you to the level of the base V8, which is going to give us a chance to compete and to get after it when the weekend comes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's so important. You know, I always say I'm principle-based, not philosophy-based. I mean, I think that's, you know, something. And you mentioned, you know, you want to have that kind of fraternity, sorority type of, you know, togetherness. You know, I always talk about, I always get crucified when I say I like CrossFit because of the ingenuity with the equipment. I like CrossFit because of the tribal mentality. I don't like CrossFit when it comes to how you train for sport. But I mean, you know, you want to have you know, a 100-pound woman scratch your eyes out, talk bad about her CrossFit gym, right? You know, I mean, I love that, you know, to have any, you know, to have your athletes own their program like that. I mean, that's incredible. So I agree with you 100% training and concepts. You know, this is generalizations, right? But your generalization is that your bald head, power lifter, goatee guy is not going to be a guy that likes social media very much or thinks about branding or utilizing kind of tools like that to kind of reach their athletes. But you've made it a point to really, you know, to use social media as a tool, both individually and collectively with your athletes. Talk a little bit about how important it is and the ways that you use it in your program.
Well, it's evolved. Number one, that's where they spend their time, right? Just walk around campus. They're staring at their phones, you know, almost running into each other. So we have to find a way to meet them where they're going to meet us. If I stand in front of the room and preach the entire time, they're checked out. So what we started with when I first got here is we did a YouTube page with all of our exercise index, right? They didn't understand terminology. So that way, when they went home, we hyperlinked all of our Excel documents. And that was kind of the start of it. And then I was forced into Twitter by a previous sport coach, and it ended up being a great thing for us because now all of a sudden they were liking stuff and they were retweeting. We started doing little videos, and that's the world they live in, and they like seeing themselves. And now we've progressed to Instagram to where we're kind of making that our newsletter. The modern day newsletters, every day of the week, we have a different purpose. And we don't have registered dietitians on our staff. We have one at the school. So Fridays, we do a Fuel It Friday where she gives some insight and has her contact information, you know, kind of working as backwards in the week. You know, right now, Thursdays is our Table Talk Thursday where we're reviewing a book, kind of showing our athletes that we're learning too. You know, we have a book of the month and we're going to tell you what it's about so that you can kind of see where we're coming from or for trying something different, where it might be. Wednesdays, we tried something different this spring with a Where Are They Wednesday. You know, I've been here for 8+ years now, and bringing back, you know, getting a video clip of some former athletes in a variety of sports and what Marauder Strength means to them and how they've seen it grow and apply to life. Tuesdays, we do a Take Care Tuesday, just a video clip of some exercises they can do mobility-wise on their own. And then Mondays, we do a Mindset Monday slide just to put some infographics out there to where they can reach it. And we try to put, you know, 1 to 2 video clips of every training session up on our story and tag their sport. And it's worked out really well. The kids love it, and we're getting some information out there to other sport coaches in the same process.
Yeah, obviously I jumped on social media pretty early in the strength coach world, but I fought it, just like everybody did. It wasn't something that I wanted to do, but once I realized that it could be a powerful tool for the athletes, then I was all in. When it was just looked at as a personal branding type of mentality or that egocentric type of bulletin board, I was like, nah, that's not for me. But once I figured that I could use it for the athletes and exactly the kind of stuff that you're talking. I mean, I did a video one time of, I had the strength coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers was a former intern of mine. So I had him, stop LeBron James and talk about how water was important, right? And send me the video. And, I put that up on our social media, and, later on that day, I heard one of our athletes talking about how LeBron James sent them an Instagram message, And so I always think that if you can be a part of those other 22 hours, somehow, some way, and social media being a real powerful way to do that, it reinforces your culture, reinforces your message, and helps you not fight a losing battle when they walk into the gym. What are some ways that you've used maybe social media, or obviously being at a Division II school? You talked about the T-shirts. Is there any other creative ways that you've gone about fundraising for your program?
We're actually in the process right now of marketing some of our social media days. Like, we put on our Insta story, our cafeteria's best food choices for each meal. And we're currently working with someone right now where they want to sponsor that slide. And we've taken that from our wrestling program. They did a great job of getting their weight classes sponsored. So we kind of took that theory and said, okay, who in town in Bismarck, North Dakota would love to sponsor a slide to where they're going to be seen by hundreds of people, each day guaranteed with their logo. And that's something that's really helped in that process. We started a couple years ago. We've been fortunate. We ran a camp in the summer, and the money from the camp, instead of going to me or my staff, part went to them, but we put money back into the department to get what we wanted. And then going even further back, when we first got here, we sold what we didn't want. If we were fortunate, I was given a ton of leeway by our administration that if we had one machine and it was, I joked, it was like Disney World, right? We had 30 people lined up for a four-way neck when there's other ways we can train neck, let's move that to someone who wants it and let's take that money and get something that we can utilize. That's been a huge sell. And then we get our bands, like a lot of other people do and utilize bands, but we actually sell ours to our athletes every year. So we sell them for half price, then we buy brand new ones, and it ends up cutting our costs, and our athletes get to do buys and tries at home or stretch at home. And we even have some athletes take it on the road to get a quick, gun show in before they step on the field or court, which makes them happy.
Yeah, no, great. All great ideas. I think those, a lot of those ideas are breathed into existence from necessity, right? I mean, you have to find ways to do it. But I think thinking outside the box, I think that's a great idea with the social media and getting something sponsored social media wise. I think that's super smart. I haven't heard that one before. Man, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
You don't know what you don't know until you're in the situation you don't know it.
I agree with that. I would always say that, you don't understand what it means to be a head strength coach unless you sit in the head strength coach's chair, right? Or the assistant's chair or the GA's chair. Yep. Or the intern's chair. And it's protected for a reason. I think there's that progression for a reason for sure. But so many times, and it never fails, every year whenever I'd have interns leave, they would call back and they'd be like, oh, you're absolutely right. Good, man. What about a book, app, and website recommendation?
From a book standpoint, I'm a big fan of Extreme Ownership. I know it's popular out there right now, but just realizing it all comes back to you, I think, is what came out of that book. From an app aspect, now I'm blanking. It's a Muscle 3D app, It's great from an anatomy standpoint. It helps me show our athletes visible body what injury they might have if they're sore, dinged up, nicked up, and they don't think about those things, and it allows you to have it in the palm of your hand. And a website, I'm going to go the old power lifter in me. I'm going with the Elite FTS. The free knowledge that they have on there and some comic relief as well is fantastic.
Yeah, no, they do a great job. You also mentioned in our notes here, Jocku, I think, right?
Yeah, Jocku is a timing system that we have really liked. We've started using it with all of our teams, friendly on a budget, accurate timing system, and has been fantastic.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, like I said, man, I think it's always great to have coaches on the podcast that are in the trenches, that are having to figure things out without having, again, all the resources thrown to them, you know, the big staffs, the lots of, you know, the big budget, the whole deal. I think, you know, I always tell people that my time at South Florida, when we first started the program, being in a 2,000 square foot weight room for all sports, you know, that's the time that made me the strength coach that I am today. And to see you doing it at a high level, both, you know, at U Mary, but also, you know, becoming a master strength coach and building yourself beyond just four walls of that weight room is a testament to the job that you're doing. So appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Coach. Thanks for the kind words.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.